Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, everyone. Once again, it's Sunday, a fine Sunday on the eastern seaboard, East Coast. It's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you know what time it is. It's the Master Plan. My name is JT, a.k.a. the Master, and quite naturally, we're talking fantasy football. But before that, let's listen to some Boston, and I'll come back, and I'll give you the number. Hopefully, jump online, give me a call or a question or whatever, we can go through that. But let's listen to some Boston and More Than a Feeling, because today, I have more than a feeling about some of the things I'm going to relate to you this morning. Yes. Like I said, this is the Master. I'm JT. Like I said, this is the Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. Give it to you again, 347-637-3220. Thank you for listening. For all you listening out there, also, after the program, you jump into my archives, and there's been a great increase of live listeners and archive listeners. I really appreciate it. Keep those listens and follow up of the programs listening. That tells me you're listening to what I'm saying. That tells me I'm getting my message across to you, and that's what I do. That's what I love. I love fantasy football, and if I can help anyone out there, just one person, to the championship, I've done my job. So without further ado, let's get into some football. Before I get into fantasy pro football, I want to go on to the college front. I'm not a big college football fan. I don't watch college football that much. What I do is if you listen to my program, you know I like running backs. I do pay attention to running backs as they get closer and closer to the end of the college football season and closer to the NFL combine. I really pay attention to players, especially running backs that are coming out of college that a lot of people may not see or realize, and make a mental block, write it down, and check them out in the combines and see exactly where they may fit in the grand scheme of things in the NFL. I'm also going to, before I get into the college football, I'm also going to tell you during today, there's a few players that I really like that I've been waiting for him to come about. It's one especially, and I think he's got his prime time chance. Circumstances beyond anybody's control has gotten this guy to the forefront, and I've been waiting for him, and I think he's going to perform and surprise a lot of people, and hopefully he's sitting on your waiver wires. You can put him on your bench, or if you're desperate in the bye weeks, plug him in there. And he's a very high-risk, high-reward guy, but I think he's going to have a surprise day because of his ability. Anyway, what I said I wanted to do, I wanted to go through the college football scores yesterday. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because a lot of things have taken place yesterday if you pay attention to college football, and it's generally a nice shakeup of the upper tier of player, upper tier of rankings. So, what I'm going to do is the upsets, 24 to number one. I'm going to go through the upsets, and it's going to make a difference when the BCS comes out with their rankings later on tonight. Number 24, Northwestern got upset by Michigan, who's unranked. Um, Number 11, Oregon State, got upset by Stanford, and that's going to change things. Number 9, Louisville, got upset by Syracuse. Okay? That's leading up to the biggest upset, and that's number 15. Listen to what I'm saying here. Number 15, Texas A&M, upset. Number 1, Alabama. Now, there's been a controversy, from what I understand, that the upper rankings between 1 and 5, Oregon's pretty much not getting respected. Some say that the Kansas State's now going to be jumped to number 1 because they were ranked number 2 after Alabama. Kansas State, in my opinion, barely got past TCU. They won 23-10. All right? Oregon annihilated California. Now, I know California is not a ranked team or even close to having a winning record, but this time of the season, when you roll up the scores, that's the key to being able to jump rankings. And in my opinion, from what I've known and what I've seen, Oregon should be number 1, Kansas State number 2, Notre Dame number 3, Georgia number 4, Florida number 6, and then from there, who knows? That's just my opinion. I'm not a well-versed college football guy, but I just had to throw my 2 cents in there. And for the fact is, one of my hosts and the founder of all the programs that you've been listening to, the Master Plan, Compassion Dikini, FSP Crew Show, which is on Thursday, No Chaser, which is on Friday, and FSP, which is Vic Gardner's show, who started it all, he happens to be an Alabama football fan. So I just wanted to remember a little salt in the wounds, because I know he's going to listen to this, and that one's for you, Vic. Alabama, they're not so hot this year. They got beat by Texas A&M, number 15, Texas. Come on, man. Come on. Anyway, and they had a struggle last week. So the defense, their vaunted defense, has gotten torched or slapped up upside the head in the last 2 weeks. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that college football out there. Let's run down or let's go to the first game of the afternoon. Not the very first game, but it's one of the 1 o'clock games. We're talking about the New York Giants visiting the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, if anyone knows, now, Eli, it was earlier in the season, was short for elite as a quarterback. Well, he's been struggling for the last 2 weeks, and he's on the road, and the Giants are in need of a win and in need for Eli to right himself because of the way he's been playing for the last 2 weeks. They're facing a good matchup for their offense and a in-between matchup against their rush defense, okay? Cincinnati, in turn, is facing a Giant defense that's middle of the road, a middle of the pack in passing and rushing offense and defense. So this should be a probably an evenly played game. I don't pick winners here, people. I don't pick winners. I'm strictly dealing with fantasy football, and the word on the street is that Eli Manning is suffering from a tired arm or a tired shoulder or whatever, but he's not throwing the same. His balls aren't coming out of his hand the same, and he's having problems getting the ball down the field. Now, Eli's risen to the occasion when things were down before, but I'm looking for Martellus Bennett to have a big game here. For those who he shouldn't be on the waiver wire, but for those who have Martellus Bennett on the waiver wire, grab him because I think he's going to get about five catches, about 50 yards, and a touchdown. And that's pretty damn good for a tight end. Now, quite naturally, I think you're playing with fire here. putting Eli in there. I know Eli's been playing well, but not for the last 2 weeks. I know this is not a real good Cincinnati defense, and they're reeling because they've lost a few games in a row. But they're desperate. They need to get a win. The Giants have not won in Cincinnati in a while. Just think about that. The Giants have not won in Cincinnati in a while. I'm looking for Eli. About 250 yards. Maybe throwing for a couple of touchdowns. One of them to Martellus Bennett. So that's telling me that he's not going to be pushing the ball that far down the field. Effectively, let me put it that way. He may throw some short passes and have to deal with a wide receiver run after the catch. That's right in the wheelhouse of Victor Cruz, who I think is going to get about 5 catches, 80 yards, and about a touchdown. Ahmad Bradshaw, if he's healthy enough to play, he hasn't been productive for the last 2 weeks, but he's faced good defenses. So he may be able to run against this team. I see him, you know, he's got goal line competition for Andre Brown. So I know he's probably going to run it for about 70 yards, but I can't guarantee you a touchdown from this. I really can't because of the Andre Brown factor. He's definitely good for about 70 yards, and I would think he's probably good for about 4 catches for about 25 yards, somewhere around there. So don't expect too much from Ahmad Bradshaw. Hakeem Nicks, he hasn't been playing. He hasn't been producing as he's normally produced in the past. So he's going to give you mediocre numbers, 4 catches, about 60 yards, somewhere around there. Hickson's probably going to get about 3 catches. He was non-factor last week. I think he'll still be somewhat of a non-factor this week. Believe it or not, Lawrence Torrance. Now, you get points from everywhere. And if you can get it from an effective kicker, I know kickers are a dime a dozen, but Lawrence Tynes has been pretty effective. He leads the league in field goals, okay? He's had multiple attempts in each of the last 8 games, and he's had a total of 15 field goals in 4 road games. He's a solid play here, okay? So if you think kickers are an afterthought, he's got 2 or 3 field goals. 2 field goals, depending on your scoring. A lot of them are 3 points for a field goal. That's 6 points. 3 field goals is 3 points. So, I mean, 9 points. So 9 points can put you over the top for a win. So you try to get points wherever you can get them. On the other side, I think Andy Dalton is going to throw for about the same amount of yard as Eli does. And I think because of the porous defense of the Giants, especially in the pass game, I think he's going to throw for a couple of touchdowns quite naturally. The stud guy here is A.J. Green, one of the best, if not the best, this year in fantasy, wide receiver. I see him getting about six catches, hitting the century mark, and probably getting a touchdown. And Andy Dalton, young quarterback, big target. I always say that. That's their favorite. Who's their favorite friend and a young quarterback? It's a tight end, Jermaine Gresham. Giants are not big. Like I said, they struggle in the passing game, and Jermaine Gresham is a big target right in the middle of the field, and I think he's going to get about 5 catches, 6 catches, 5 or 6 catches, about 60 yards, and he's able to get into the end zone, also. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, maybe about 80 yards. That's about it. I don't see him doing too much in the passing game. He's been basically a disappointment. They thought they were getting something more than they got, and I don't see him getting more than about 80 yards, something like that. And I don't see him getting into the end zone. I'd be very surprised of that. There's no big guys that I can come out with. Andrew Hawkins, I don't think he's going to do too much. Brandon Tate, I don't think he's going to do too much. So there's nothing I can give you in this game. Let's move on to the next game. Now, this game, Titans versus the Dolphins. Jake Locker is supposed to be coming back and making his debut now. Making his return. Let me preface this like this. Now, just go back to the earlier in the season when Jake Locker was the quarterback. And think of if you were Chris Johnson owner, how Chris Johnson was when Jake Locker was the quarterback. Okay? Just think about that. When Jake Locker went down, Chris Johnson started to thrive. Okay? He started to play a lot better. Is that because of the offensive line got themselves together? Is that because of the quarterback? Because of Johnson was reading his blocks a lot better, being more patient? I don't know, but it's a heck of a coincidence that Chris Johnson started playing better when Jake Locker was not in the lineup. So temper your thoughts about having Chris Johnson in your lineup and him running effectively, especially against one of the better defenses in the league against the run. They're going to have to pass the ball in this game, people. Kenny Britt should be one of the beneficiaries of that, along with on a lesser note, Kendall Wright and Damian Williams and Nate Washington. I'm looking for Jared Cook and Kenny Britt to get the most out of the passing game. I don't think Chris Johnson is going to hit the century mark, and I'd be surprised if he gets into the end zone. They're going to be stacking the line in Miami to stop Chris Johnson. I guarantee it. On the other side of the ball, I like Ryan Tannehill. If Ryan Tannehill against one of the worst teams in the NFL against the pass, Miami is the Titans have allowed multiple scores for the quarterback in the last five games. So Ryan Tannehill, who's been playing better and better and has not had a turnover in the last five games, if you're hurting for a quarterback, if RG3 is not there, I'm trying to think who else is on a bye here. Who's on a bye? If RG3 is not there, if quite naturally John Skelton or Brandon Whedon or Aaron Rodgers is in there, Ryan Tannehill is a no-brainer in my opinion. Put him in your lineup and be happy that he's in your lineup, because they have a very good, from here to the end of the season, a good schedule for the quarterback. And with that vein, because this is such a bad pass defense, Brian Hartline, he had a rough stretch there because he had some rough defenses that he was going up against. But he's back. He's healthy. I see Brian, especially in this game, I see him getting about 8 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown because of the fact he's the number one receiver, and he's very underestimated, in my opinion. So if Brian Hartline, for some reason, is sitting on your waiver wire, and he shouldn't be, especially if it's in PPR, he shouldn't be, grab him. If you need a wide receiver, put him in there. You should feel comfortable about putting in Brian Hartline in here. And also, I think Anthony Fasano, okay, he's not a big catch guy, but down near the red zone, Tannehill looks for him. So if you're hurting for a tight end, Anthony Fasano is one of those guys that you can put in there and be comfortable. Now, Reggie Bush and Daniel Thomas have also been splitting carries almost equally. I see, because this defense is so porous against the run and the pass, and the owner has put the coaching staff, including the players, on notice, I don't know how well they're going to play, but Miami's playing at home. Reggie Bush has been running well. Daniel Thomas has been running well. I wouldn't be surprised if either one of these or both of them get into the end zone. I truly believe that the Miami Dolphins are going to be running up the score against a piss-poor Tennessee team. I like the fantasy goodness on the Dolphins here. I think Ryan Tannehill is going to play well. I think the running backs are going to play well. I especially like Brian Hartline in this game. And in my opinion, if you are able to get Brian Hartline, you'd probably be able to get him on the cheap, because of the fact is no one really has to much about give them that much respect. He has a very favorable schedule from now until the end of the season. So just think about that. Let's move on from there. And also, I could also see about playing the Miami defense if that's sitting on the waiver wire. Probably shouldn't be, because it's been a pretty good defense. But if it is, grab them and play them against Tennessee, because I think that Tennessee is on their on life support right now, about to go over the edge. All right, let's move on to the next game, which would be Lions versus the Vikings. Very interesting game. Extremely interesting game. Lions going to the Vikings. Lions won a game last week. Vikings, Christian Ponder has not been playing well. The matchup for the Lions on the pass and the rushing offense is very good against Minnesota. Minnesota's rushing defense hasn't been as good as it was earlier in the season. And it's vice versa on Minnesota going against Detroit. The pass and rush defense that Detroit is going to put on Minnesota is going to be pretty tough for Minnesota. But Christian Ponder needs to get out of his funk. And I think with the help of Adrian Peterson, he'll be able to do that. The usual suspects: Matthew Stafford, about 300 yards, probably a couple touchdowns. Mikel LeSure, I think Minnesota playing at home is going to be playing a little tougher, and it won't be as easy for LeSure as it was in the past. I think they're going to try to shut him down, and quite naturally, when that happens, the Detroit Lions do what they do best and throw the ball. Calvin Johnson is going to be the main target. You know that. Excuse me. I like Titus Young. Titus Young didn't do too much last week. I think he's going to do a little bit more this week than most people think, especially on that turf, especially against the DBs of Minnesota. I like Titus Young in this game. Quite naturally, they're going to double team Calvin. So Matthew Stafford, even though he's going to be throwing to Calvin, he's going to have to look for other avenues, because he can't always go to Calvin. And Titus Young and Brandon Pettigrew are those other avenues. Pettigrew is probably going to get about four or five catches, about 30 to 40 yards. Titus Young, like I said, is about five or six catches, 60 to 70 yards somewhere. And it's a strong chance, because of his speed and his elusiveness, he'd be able to get into the end zone. Excuse me. Christian Ponder has been struggling. I wouldn't play Christian Ponder, but I would play Kyle Rudolph. I know Kyle Rudolph has been giving donuts or 1 or 2 points in the last few weeks, but I think Kyle Rudolph, because the fact is Percy Harvin is not going to be playing. So that means Michael Jenkins, Jerome Simpson, and Kyle Rudolph are going to have to pick up the slack. Christian Ponder hasn't been passing the ball well. Kyle Rudolph's in the middle of the field as a check down. I think Kyle Rudolph's going to be used a lot. He may not get into the end zone like he was earlier, but I think he's going to be racking up some reception and reception yards. So just hang in there, Kyle Rudolph fans, and me being one of them. I'm going to play him again this week because I do truly believe, especially with Percy Harvin not playing, and Percy Harvin is out. Anybody who has Percy Harvin as a wide receiver expecting him to do things in this game, it's not going to happen this week. Not going to happen. He's dealing with ankle issues, and he can't go, unfortunately. So it's the Jerome Simpson, Michael Jenkins, and Kyle Rudolph show in the pass game. Quite naturally, I think they're going to be Adrian Peterson can run on anybody, and he's going to get over his 100 yards. And if he gets close, he doesn't even have to get close. He gets loose. He'll be gone, and he'll be into the end zone. So that's what I have to say about that. Now we move on to what I consider to be a shootout. Any one of these quarterbacks you should play. Quite naturally, you're going to play Tom Brady. But, come on. My computer start screwing up on me now. Can't have that now. Anyway, like I said, Bills and the Patriots in New England. Buffalo's got a good matchup against in the passing side of the ball. New England's better against the run than against the pass. And New England New England offense going up against Buffalo's defense is should have no problem running the ball or passing the ball on that weak Buffalo defense. So let's hit to the Buffalo side first. Ryan Fitzpatrick in this game should have a very good game against a very weak pass defense of New England. I see him throwing for about 250 to 300 yards in this game. Yes, I do believe he's going to be doing that because they're going to try to stifle C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson. So he's going to have to put the ball in the air. That means Scott Chandler, Stevie Johnson, Donald Jones. I say Stevie Johnson, Donald Jones get about the same amount of receptions, about five receptions, about 50 to 60 yards, give or take. And one of them is going to find the end zone. I think it's Stevie Johnson, who's more of the big play wide receiver. Scott Chandler is a tight end, too. You play him if you're desperate for a tight end. I don't expect him to do too much in the game in here because of I think they're going to go out to the wideouts and be able to have some big plays to get the ball down the field. On the other side, you know, it's a no-brainer about playing Tom Brady. Tom Brady's going to throw for about 300 yards in this game. He's going to throw for at least a couple touchdowns, all right? I think to be able to run the ball, too. Stephen Ridley should get about 80 yards. I think he'll probably get into the end zone. Some people tell me that Shane Vereen is a guy to play. I'm not too sure about that. I know Bolden, their other running back, is suspended for a few games for performance-enhancing drugs. So it's Woodhead and Vereen show besides Ridley. So, but I see Gronkowski having a huge day getting into the end zone quite naturally, having about six, seven catches, about 70, 80 yards. Aaron Hernandez is out. He's not going to be playing in this game. So those passes are going to be distributed between Gronkowski, Wes Welker, or Brandon Lloyd. I see Wes Welker getting about 6 or 7 catches, about 80, 85 yards. Brandon Lloyd getting about 4 or 5 catches, about 50 to 60 yards. This is going to be a shootout. So more than likely, all these players, maybe except for Ryan Fitzpatrick, if you're hurting for a quarterback, and especially if you're in a two-quarterback league and one of your quarterbacks happens to be on a bye, RG3 or whoever is on a bye, Brandon Whedon or Aaron Rodgers, or Skelton or Cobb, whoever's in Arizona, Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to have a good day. Put him in your lineup. He's going to be able to throw the ball against that defense. All right, let's move on to the Atlanta Falcons visiting the New Orleans Saints, bitter division rivals. Both these quarterbacks are going to throw for over 300 yards. Both these quarterbacks are going to throw for at least two touchdowns. I get that out of the way right now. Both of them are going to be over two touchdowns. Running backs, because the poorest defense in New Orleans, Michael Turner should have a good day today. I still think, even though Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons are going to go to a no huddle, Turner gets his touches, and I think he gets it's about 70 yards in close, probably get a touchdown. Okay, can't guarantee it, but I can guarantee you this: Roddy White, Julio Jones, and Tony Gonzalez, about six catches, give or take one, maybe have more than the other, but they're all going to have around six catches. Tony Gonzalez is going to have about 60 to 70 yards. Roddy White and Julio Jones are going to have between 80 and 90 yards apiece. And like I said, Matt Ryan is going to throw for a couple touchdowns. Well, it could be divided. Tony Gonzalez, Roddy White, Tony Gonzalez, Julio Jones, Roddy White. Who gets the touchdown? Well, two of those three are definitely get a touchdown pass from Matt Ryan. Guaranteed. I guarantee it. On the other side, Pierre Thomas and Mark Ingram, because Darren Sproles is out, and also Chris Ivory, are going to be running the ball and splitting carries. This is a tough backfield to play. You don't play him unless you're desperate. If I was to play one, I'd put Pierre Thomas in there. I really like Pierre Thomas, and I think they have a more comfortable feeling about Pierre Thomas than the other two. Not to say they're not comfortable with him, but Pierre Thomas has been there the longest. Jimmy Graham is going to get his. Marcus Colson is going to get his. That's about six or seven catches. Colson about 80, 90 yards. Graham about 50 to 60 yards, somewhere around there. And Lance Moore is going to get pick up some pieces. Five catches, about 60 to 70 yards. This is going to be a shootout. I do know that the interim coach, Vitt, said that earlier in the season that the Saints weren't running the ball enough. They're going to be running the ball, trying to keep the ball away from the Atlanta Falcons. And for the simple fact is they were very effective last week running the ball and passing second, running the ball a lot more than they've run it earlier in the season. So they're going to try to keep that formula to see if that works against Atlanta. They need the 3-5. They need this very badly, and it would be more than make their season if they broke Atlanta's winning streak, which is at 8-0. Okay? Let's move on to the Chargers and the Buccaneers. All right, you got a spot on your lineup, in your roster, whether it's an IR spot or a spot that for a wide receiver. Put Vincent Brown there. He's not going to play this week, but he may help you down the road, especially if you're very close to being in the playoffs, or you've had such a good year so far that you're almost guaranteed to be in the playoffs right now. And you happen to be shaky on the wide receiver end, put Vincent Brown in there. It can't hurt you if you have an IR spot, or if you even have a spot on your roster that you can afford to put a wide receiver and wait to see what happens. It's just a speculation thing on my part, but I just have a feeling. Just like the theme of this week, more than a feeling, okay? Anyway, San Diego is visiting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know the San Diego Chargers have been shaky. I know that. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have been playing lights out. But I see this as being a pretty wild game, too. I think both these teams will be able to move the ball on each other. I think Phillip Rivers is going to have a very good day here. I see him having about 270 yards, 280, with a couple of touchdowns. One to Malcolm Floyd, the other one probably to Antonio Gates. Ryan Matthews is going to probably he'll probably get 70, 75 yards in there with another three or four in the receiving. A lot of the receiving has gone to Ronnie Brown, who's a good play. Ronnie Brown is a good play here because the fact is they used Ronnie Brown in the passing game. So if you are hurting for a running back, okay, and especially if it's in PPR, and Ronnie Brown's sitting on the waiver wire, he shouldn't be, but if you didn't handcuff Ryan Matthews and or Ryan Matthews' owners didn't handcuff him, pick up Ronnie Brown because you're searching around looking for a running back that you don't know who you're going to use. Pick up Ronnie Brown. He's going to get about four or five, maybe six receptions. He's going to get about 50 yards today. I'm telling you, that's just the statistics I'm talking about. It's more than a feeling. I'm telling you, I'm giving you more than a feeling here, okay? So I like Ronnie Brown today. Along with Antonio Gates and Malcolm Floyd. Robert Meacham, Denario Alexander, who's supposed to get more involved in the offense, not so. But I do like Malcolm Floyd, Antonio Gates, Ronnie Brown, and Matthews, and Phillip Rivers, okay? On the other end, Josh Freeman has been playing lights out. I mean, he's been playing lights out, and his new best friend is Vincent Jackson, who's going back, who's playing his old team. And you know, any NFL player that either left the team on good or bad terms, but they left that team, they're an old team, and they're playing them for the first time, they want to show the team what they shouldn't have let go. So you know Vincent Jackson and his personality is going to play as hard as he can and give you that extra incentive to stick it to the San Diego Chargers, A.J. Smith and North Turner. He's going to get about four or five catches. He will get into the end zone and about 75 to 80 yards. Mike Williams, I see the same thing happening here. He's going to be about four catches, about 60 to 70 yards. I'm looking for him to get into the end zone. Doug Martin is on an absolute tear. He's in sync with his offensive line. He's on an absolute tear. I see him getting over 100 yards. And I see him getting into the end zone. So what does that spell? All these touchdowns on both ends spell shootout. I think this is going to be another game that is fantasy goodness for you fantasy players. All right, let's move on to the Broncos at the Carolina Panthers. And it's about 20 minutes to 11. And we have 7 more games to go through. We're going to go through them, and even if we have to go through overtime, we're going to get to them. And because I haven't gotten to some of the players that I think are going to show up that you may not have been thinking about, okay? I really believe, especially one player that I really like, and he's coming up in my next analysis past this one, that I really like, and he's not the only one, so... you know, as you go on, and it's few and far between players that you can pluck out that are unknown quantities that that I've been giving you, and I've given you some real good ones week in and week out since the beginning of the season. If you go through the archives, I should have kept track, but I'm telling you, take my word for it. I gave you T.Y. Hilton for one. I gave you Vic Ballard for another. I gave you Chris Givens for another. Josh Gordon for another. Kyle Rudolph way back before he really broke out a few weeks before he petered out. Andre Roberts, I gave you, and he had a big week, couple weeks. Those are just a few of the players I've given you. I can't think of all the ones that I've given you, but those are just a sample of some of the players that I've talked to you and told you to pick up and play over the weeks, and they've come through for you. I've picked them up myself. I've played them myself. I've had other people pick them up and play them against me. So trust me when I'm telling you, if I give you a player, I really feel, and this is more than a feeling, I should say, that the player is going to perform that week, not in weeks ahead, that week. I really like one player this week. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people with the thought of where did he come from. He's coming up. Anyway, let's move on to the Denver at Carolina Panthers. Peyton Manning's a no-brainer. I think he's going to throw. He's had three consecutive 300-yard games. I think he's going to do it again today. He's going to have a little stiffer competition on rush defense. Carolina's pass defense is a little stout too, but this is Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning is the master, just like I'm the master, in my opinion, of fantasy football. Peyton Manning is the master of reading defenses and putting his players on the offensive side of the ball in the best position to take advantage of what the offensive weaknesses are. So I think he's going to throw for about. I think he's going to throw for 300. I think he's going to throw for three touchdowns. I really believe that. McGahee is going to probably be running for about 80 yards. I see him probably getting into the end zone, but this kid Ronnie Hillman, who happens to be a rookie, has been getting a lot more touches. He's not going to be getting it unless McGahee gets hurt and he's on the other side of 30, but this Ronnie Hillman kid, I hope you handcuff him, especially as the season goes on. Excuse me, these older backs have a tendency to wear down, and when they start wearing down, that's when the injuries occur. So this is probably the best time to handcuff Willis McGahee, put Ronnie Hillman on your roster if you're a Willis McGahee owner, or not. If you're not, if you have room on your roster, put Ronnie Hillman, a running back, on there, because it's a possibility. It's a statistical possibility that Willis McGahee on the other side of 30 can get hurt. So that's what I'm telling you. Also in this game, Eric Decker and Demaryius Thomas are absolute studs in this. Both of these guys are getting touches. Eric Decker is on an absolute tear. This is one of my favorite players. Players buy low players, especially drafted. I drafted this kid in some leagues. This kid, I read about this kid and had a feeling about this kid. Sometimes you got to go what you get. Gut. And this kid was a gut feeling, and I went with this kid, and I'm telling you, for the last 5 games, he has scored seven touchdowns, and the last two, he scored 2 touchdowns, okay? This kid is emerging as an elite quarterback. Trust me when I say that. Eric Decker. I know if Denver has a very favorable schedule for the quarterback, for the running back, and for wide receivers. So understand what I'm saying. The trade deadline for most of these fantasy leagues are coming up. If you have a possibility of getting Willis McGahee, Eric Decker, the chance may have passed you by, but if you have someone like a I'm trying to think what the wide receivers that you may want to give up. Vincent Jackson, for one. I would give Vincent Jackson up for an Eric Decker because look at the quarterback. With a favorable schedule for the quarterback, wide receiver, and at running back, I would take Eric Decker over Vincent Jackson. Absolutely. Because of what the quarterback and wide receiver combination. I'd have to think long and hard. No, I wouldn't. And this is a bold statement here. I would take Eric Decker over Calvin Johnson. But the simple fact is, Calvin Johnson is not having a good year, for one. Hasn't been in the end zone with any kind of regularity for another. Let me tell you what Calvin Johnson has done in the touchdown. Calvin Johnson has one touchdown, which was in week three. One touchdown in week three. Okay? So that's what I'm telling you. I have a wide receiver who's had seven in the last five games. Seven touchdowns in the last five games. And a quarterback that's only getting better health-wise and only getting better field-wise with his wide receivers from week to week. And that's Peyton Manning. So trust me when I say that. If you have a Calvin Johnson, you probably can pick, and you're looking for a solid wide receiver in exchange and probably another player because the player, because of the name of Calvin Johnson, you say, I want Calvin Johnson, and give me Eric Decker and Daniel Thomas. You're getting over like a fat rat because even though most people think Daniel Thomas is a throw-in, he's not because he's getting equal amount of touches as Reggie Bush, and he's getting into the end zone. He's got more touchdowns in the last few games than Reggie Bush. Understand that, okay? That's what I'm talking about. And it'll benefit you. It'll benefit you in the long run because the simple fact is of the potential, not the potential, but the schedule of Eric Decker is more favorable than it is with Calvin Johnson in pass defenses. Let's get back to it. So you got to play Cam Newton, okay, because this is a bye week. And a lot of quarterbacks, a few quarterbacks are out, and Cam Newton is capable of having a good game. So you got to play Cam Newton, but I wouldn't expect too much from him. This pass defensive, Denver is not a slouch, Cam Newton, you got to play. Now, they said that Jonathan Stewart was supposed to be the bell cow, supposed to be the main guy, but they're still doing the same old BS. So I wouldn't play either one of these running backs, Jonathan Stewart or D'Angelo Williams, because they're still set up to the same antics. If you have to, you play Jonathan Stewart. The only play I would see, three plays I would see here, is Greg Olsen. I think he's going to get his 4 to 5 catches, 40 to 50 yards, somewhere around that, and Steve Smith. But I think they're going to be tempering Steve Smith in this game, and his expectations should be tempered because the fact is Champ Bailey is going to mirror him all over the field. All right, got about 10 minutes left in the show. We got about a few to go here. Let's move on to the Raiders and the Ravens. Now, the Raiders are going into Baltimore. Their pass offense is going to have a tough matchup against the Baltimore Ravens, but they should be able to run the ball against the Baltimore Ravens. And the Baltimore Ravens are going to have a pretty good matchup in the passing and offensive game against the Oakland defense. Quite naturally, for all they know, Darren McFadden and his backup, Mike Goodson, are out with high ankle sprains. So who's going to take over? Marcel Reese and Tywan Jones. Just like Marcel Reese was a PPR machine out of the backfield. He's basically a fullback. He's going to do the same thing this week. But that's not who I'm keying on here. I've talked about this kid over the years. I've talked about this kid several times. I'm talking about Tywan Jones. I've grabbed this kid and I put it in my lineup this week because I truly believe this kid is going to break out against this Baltimore rush defense. Baltimore is not the same defense it used to be. Understand that, people. I know it's the Baltimore Ravens, just like the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're not the same. I've said it since the beginning of the season. They're an older team, even with Polamalu, Ray Lewis. Even with Ray Lewis and Ladarius Webb in there, they weren't the same off defense. They still were getting gassed with the run. They're not as stout as they were against the rush defense as they have been in years past. This kid has got 4.3 speed. He has 4.3 speed. As long as he can hold on to the ball, he's going to gash this defense of Baltimore. He's got the same frame as Jamal Charles and Chris Johnson. Similar frame. 4.3 speed. Understand that. 4.3 speed. And he has been taking reps with the first team offense of the Oakland Raiders. They've been splitting reps, Marcel Reese and Tywan Jones. But I'm telling you. Now, this may be the worst call I've made all week, all season, but I don't think so. I have been pretty much spot on with my picks. I like this kid a lot. It's not a feeling. I've seen this kid play before. He was a little banged up or nicked up earlier. He only got one or two touches last week. He's going to be supposedly be the starting running back for the Raiders. They're going to see how this kid goes. If he can pick up the zone blocking scheme and be able to pick the hole to run in right, I'm telling you, you're talking about 50 to 60 yard runs. This kid is lightning. 4.3 speed. Understand that. 4.3 speed. Carson Palmer is going to be throwing the ball also. Okay? And if he's effective in the passing game, that's going to open up more holes for Tywan Jones. And Carson Palmer has been playing very well over the last several weeks. So this is not a no-brainer. Baltimore will probably win the game, but we're not talking about winning or losing here. We're talking about fantasy points, and I think Carson Palmer can rack up fantasy points in here, about 270 yards, at least one passing touchdown to Denarius Moore, who's going to get about four or five catches in about 50 to 60 yards, along with one of my tight ends who I've picked up and used, and it's very effective in PPR especially. He's guaranteed about 50 to 60 yards each week, and with about five catches, I'm talking about Brandon Myers, okay? So I'm giving you some players here. In PPR, the safe bet is this. In PPR, and you're a Darren McFadden owner, and you were lucky enough to get Marcel Reese and unlucky enough not to get Tywan Jones, I think both these guys are going to be effective. Marcel Reese in the passing game, Tywan Jones in the running game. I truly believe both these guys are going to be used effectively in their skill set. But I really like Tywan Jones in this game. I really like him in this game. Let me put it this way. I took Jamal Charles, and it's probably not a reach, but I took Jamal Charles playing Monday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers out and put Tywan Jones in this spot. And the thing is, I'm not secure in my position in the playoffs on a couple of my teams, but I took Jamal Charles out, put Tywan Jones in one of them, and I took Jamal Charles out and put Marcel Reese in another one. Two different teams because I wasn't fortunate enough to get Tywan Jones in one of the other leagues. So I'm confident in both these guys being effective in a respective skill set. One's PPR, one's carrying the ball with blazing speed against a defense that is not too good against the run. So I like both those guys. Okay? On the other side, Joe Flacco plays well at home. So I expect him to be able to play effectively at home against a not-so-good pass defense. He should get about 250, 260 yards, somewhere around there, get about at least one touchdown because he has Ray Rice, and Ray Rice can run on these Raiders. Ray Rice should get about 100 yards. Should probably get into the end zone, okay? Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin, probably the same amount of catches, about four or five catches, about 60 yards, somewhere around there. And one of them's going to get into the end zone. I can't guarantee touchdowns. Let me put it that way. Let's move on with about 5 minutes, 3 minutes left in here. I have one, two, three, four, five more teams to go. We're going to be going into overtime. For those who are listening, tune in next week. We're going to tune in next week. Same time, same place. We're going to be going into the last bye week, which is week 11, and then after that week, the trade deadline will be within that week. So hopefully, have your lineups set. Hopefully, you've decided to make some trades or make some moves before the playoffs. Hopefully, you're in the running for the playoffs. Hopefully, I help you to do that. Compassion Dakini with Kim Fun is on Tuesday, 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Totally different pace, totally different show from what you've been listening to here or the other sports shows or political shows that we have. One of those being the FSP Crew Show, which is on 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time with me being the host. I have two co-hosts, Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. Black's from the D.C. area. Joker's from my neck of the woods in Jersey. We talk fantasy sports and politics, and we'll be talking about the game that'll be coming up on Thursday. And then on Friday, it'll be the No Chaser with Mac Williams. Mac Williams being an independent type of guy from the D.C. area, originating from Detroit, but lives in the D.C. area. And quite naturally, I said, I live in Jersey. I tend to lean on the liberal side, so we go back and forth with the different things in the political venue, but we also talk about sports. And then on Saturday, be the FSP show with Vic Gardner being the host, me being the co-host. I'm on all the time. You hear my voice. You may not like my voice, but you hear my voice. I'm on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And like I said, Vic's on Saturday, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We talk about fantasy sports and politics. That's what FSP stands for, and we like what we do, okay. And then, like I said, back here again, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The show's about an hour. It always has a tendency to go over. We'll be going over now because we're going to be talking about five more games and the fantasy. Outlook on those games. There's some other players that I want to get out of here to let you know that to pick up or guys that are you may think are being played, but they're going to be sitting out. So you need to pick up their replacement if you don't have an ample replacement already on your roster. And I'm going to help you do that. Okay. So we're going to be going into overtime in about 40 seconds, give or take. And then I hope hopefully you stay with me and listen to the end of the show, so we can so I can help you because these weeks are critical. The next 3-4 weeks, then the playoffs start, and also before that, the trade deadline is over. So there's things happening here that you need to position yourself if you are in a position to try to get into the playoffs. and to best position yourself to have the best performance in the playoffs that you can possibly have to lead you to that championship that you sorely need, or that pot of gold if you're playing in a monetary league. Now we're going into overtime. Thank you. Anyway, let's go to the Jets versus the Seahawks. Seahawks always play better at home. Russell Wilson is 6 touchdowns home. At home, he's thrown for 6 touchdowns with no interceptions at home. Russell Wilson plays better at home, even though the Jets are one of the best teams keeping quarterbacks fantasy points at a minimum. So in this one, let's go to Jets side first. Mark Sanchez, he may be throwing for just over 100, 200 yards. He's going to be running for his life because he's not going to be able to get any balls down the field, because the simple fact is they have tall corners in Seattle, and they give wide receiver fits because they're very aggressive. Okay, Sean Green is going to have a hard time running the ball. If he gets 70 yards, 75, 80 yards, I'd be surprised. I don't think he's going to get there with that. And the only wide receiver, that I would have you even think about is Jeremy Curley. Jeremy who? Yeah, well, Jeremy Curley. That's about the only one that is that wide receiver wise is reliable. So Dustin Keller and Jeremy Curley, the two Ks, Curley and Keller. They're both going to get about 4 or 5 catches. They're both going to get about 50 yards apiece, and that's it. I don't see them. I don't know who's going to get into the end zone. I see Sanchez maybe throwing for a touchdown, but he's definitely going to throw for you a ball pick, and more than likely a fumble, because that's his MO. I mean, that's just the way Mark Sanchez has played. Russell Wilson, I see him throwing for a little bit more, about 230, 240, 240 yards. And at least one touchdown. But I think the main thing that they always do in Seattle is run the ball with the beast. We're talking about Marshawn Lynch. I see him getting about 100 yards. I do see him getting into the end zone. I really like him. I think he's going to get into the end zone. And when Russell Wilson throws the ball, his main target that he likes throwing to for the most part is Sidney Rice. Sidney Rice is going to go against Antonio Cromartie. Now, one thing the Jets do well is play the wide receivers. And since Darrell Revis went down, Antonio Cromartie has been playing at a Pro Bowl level. So, Sidney Rice is going to have his hands full. But he's been playing against number one defensive backs the whole season. He's scored touchdowns. And he scored touchdowns in last 2 games. 3 out of 4 games he scored a touchdown. He's going against New England. He didn't score a touchdown in San Francisco. He scored a touchdown against Detroit, and he scored a touchdown against Minnesota. Of those, I can't think of a, except for maybe San Francisco, of a outstanding defensive back, the level Antonio Cromartie. So, but he's been dealing with the best corners each week. So I'm not guaranteeing him he's going to get into the end zone. I'm just saying I wouldn't shy away about playing Sidney Rice. Let me put it that way. I think he's going to hold his own. He's a big, strong wide receiver, and I think he'll be able to hold his own. The thing about it is Russell Wilson being able to get the ball to him accurately. All right. Let's move on to the Cowboys versus the Eagles. I think this is going to be a shootout. I think both these teams. Play well. Both of these teams are desperate. Both of them are 3-5. They are in need of a win desperately. Cowboys are on a road visiting Philadelphia. Tony Romo, I think he's going to get about 280 yards, at least one touchdown. I don't like Felix Jones in this game. I think he's going to get about 50 to 60 yards. That's about it. Historically, Philly is one of the worst teams to defend the tight end, so I see Jason Witten having a big game. Even if Philly wasn't a weak against the tight end, Jason Witten and Tony Romo have such a rapport with each other on the football field that even the toughest matchup, they're able to produce. So I see Witten getting about 5 or 6 catches, 60 to 70 yards, somewhere around there. I think the main guy here, I think the guy that, and I've always liked this guy, the guy from Monmouth University, which is in New Jersey, Miles Austin. He's the most reliable receiver that Tony Romo has, and he likes throwing the Miles, and I think Miles is going to have 6 or 7 catches, about 70 to 80 yards. I see him getting into the end zone. Dez Bryant, I see him doing his same usual thing, getting about five or six catches, about 70 yards, somewhere around there, but not getting into the end zone. He very rarely gets into the end zone. Miles Austin is the more reliable one getting into the end zone. That's who I like here. On the other side, Michael Vick. I think they're going to temper the offense down a little bit. I think LeSean McCoy is going to be running the ball a little bit more. I see LeSean McCoy getting the ball, and excuse me here, folks. Let me just do this. I see LeSean McCoy getting the ball and running it effectively, about 70, 80 yards on the ground, about 40 yards with about six catches in the air, and getting into the end zone. I like him a lot. I see Jeremy Maclin and DeSean Jackson getting about the same amount of catches, with DeSean Jackson being more of a big play wide receiver, getting more yardage than Jeremy Maclin. They get about five or six catches. Maclin getting about 40 yards. Jackson getting about 60 to 70 yards. Brent Celek. I see him. He scored in the last two meetings in 2011, but the Cowboys have improved their corner play this year. But if Vic gets in trouble, this is where he's going to go, to Brent Celek to dump it off. So there's a strong possibility that you'll see Brent Celek in the end zone because of the pass rush of the Dallas Cowboys. So that's what I have to say about that. Let's move on to the – what game are we going at now? Let's move on to the Rams and the 49ers. All right. I still believe in this kid. I don't care if it's against the 49ers in San Francisco. I still think this kid can perform. I'm talking about Chris Givens. We're going to go on the St. Louis side first, and we'll go like this. I see Sam Bradford throwing for about 220 yards, give or take. Steven Jackson and Darrell Richardson having a tougher time running the ball. Darrell Richardson more involved in the passing game. I would see in this game more use for Darrell Richardson because of his passing receiving opportunities than I see for Steven Jackson. They're getting probably the equal amount of touches, but Darrell Richardson, I see he's a little bit more of a dynamo and getting involved in a passing game. So if he's in PPR leagues and you're in desperate need of a running back 3 or whatever, running back 4, you plug in Darrell Richardson, and you should be able to get some decent points out of him, especially if it's PPR. Danny Amendola is supposed to be coming back, but he returns to face a real tough defense that's just allowed two wide receiving touchdowns this year. So I'm not looking for touchdowns in here, but if I was, Danny Amendola would be the one, if he's healthy, which he wouldn't be on the field if he wasn't healthy. I see him getting about 6 catches, 80 yards, and a touchdown. This other kid, Chris Givens, he's every game he's got at least a 50-yard pass. I see him getting a couple passes, a couple catches here for about 50 yards. This kid is on the rise. If you have this kid, hold on to him. This is a tough defense for Sam Bradford to go up against, but keep this kid. He's got a bright future ahead of him. Let's move on to the San Francisco side. I see Frank Gore being able to run pretty well here. He's got a nice week's rest, and he should be running for about 80 yards, and probably gets into the end zone. Michael Crabtree should be involved in this. Vernon Davis should be involved in this. I don't know about Vernon Davis getting into the end zone, but I think since they had a bye, they straightened out any problems they had of Vernon Davis getting the ball. Alex Smith probably watching film and seeing all the time Vernon Davis was open and not throwing the ball. We'll get to the ball to Vernon Davis. So all those Vernon Davis owners that have been playing him week in and week out before his bye and getting absolutely nothing from him, put him in there, feel confident. They had a bye to straighten things out. It'll work. Michael Crabtree should be able to. You know what? This is a pretty stout defense of Courtland Finnegan and Javaris Jenkins are the two DBs, and they're two very good DBs, two very good physical DBs. And Alex Smith will have a hard time passing the ball. I think he's definitely going to throw for at least an interception in here because of the fact that these guys are very tough to throw against. And I think this is all about the ground game for the most part. All right, let's move on to the next game in line, which would be Texans at night versus the Bears. My Texans versus the Chicago Bears. This is going to be a slugfest. Houston's defense, Chicago's defense, against the pass and the run are both tough. Each team is going to try to run the ball. My understanding of the weather forecast is supposed to be windy and rainy. If it's windy and rainy, I can guarantee you it's going to be more of a running game versus the passing game. And Chicago relies a lot on turnovers, and the Texans are one of the least turnover-prone offenses in the league. You got to play Aaron Foster. You got to play Matt Forte. Both those guys are no-brainers in this game. Both those guys are no-brainers. I'd have a problem playing either one of these quarterbacks. Because of the defenses of each of these, especially the pass rushes of each of these teams, I would have a problem playing each one of these for any effective fantasy points. Quite naturally, you have two stud wide receivers, Brandon Marshall and Andre Johnson. You have to play them. There's no two ways about it. The key thing in here is this. If, for those who don't know, Owen Daniels is dealing with back issues, and he may not play. If he doesn't play, there's two tight ends that may take his place, but I like one of the two. I like James Casey. Casey is used in a running back slash tight end mode. So I like Casey over Graham, who's the other tight end for Houston. But keep your eyes out. I mean, you're going to have to make a call here. You're going to have to decide whether do I chance it and have Owen Daniels not play on Sunday night and then have to scramble to get a tight end who's playing on Monday night, or pick up James Casey, put him on your roster, wait and see what happens. If he doesn't play, meaning Owen Daniels, then you have James Casey as a backup. That's going to tell you that you have to get rid of a roster spot, but that's better than having a zero for your tight end position. Let's move on to the Chiefs versus the Steelers, okay? For Kansas City, this is a terrible matchup on both sides of the ball. Excuse me. The quarterback play for Kansas City has been absolutely horrible. The offensive line play has been absolutely horrible. The defensive line, defensive play against Kansas City has been absolutely horrible. And Pittsburgh should reap the benefits of that. There's no playing Matt Castle. If you have no other choice, you play Jamal Charles. I played Jamal Charles every time he was eligible to play. But I've watched Kansas City's offense for the last few weeks, and I don't like what I see. And unfortunately, I benched Jamal Charles. Now, it may come to bite me in the butt, but if you lose faith and you have in your gut that this is a bad matchup, you live to fight another day. I have to win this week in several of my leagues to be eligible to get into the playoffs, not make the playoffs, but this week and for the rest of the weeks up and leading up to the playoffs, I have to win out. I'm taking Jamal Charles out of my lineup. I'm taking the chance. I'm taking the chance. The safe play is to keep me studs in there. But from what I've seen, and it's playing Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, and the Kansas City Chiefs have never, not even 1 second of any game they played, have ever been in the lead in any game. And they're 1-7, whatever they are. So they're playing in Pittsburgh. I know Romy Crennel is going to be just the head coach. He's just going to be the head coach. He's not going to be the defensive coordinator. He's passed those duties on. I know he's probably said, we're going to use Jamal Charles more. So, if it was me, that's what I would tell the offensive coordinator. We're using Jamal Charles, okay? He's touching the ball more than not touching the ball. So I imagine Jamal Charles is going to get a lot of touches, but I don't know if they're going to be effective touches. I mean, he can get the ball and run right into a brick wall 10, 15 times. He can get the ball on the edges, get 1 or 2 yards. I understand those points add up, but after a while they're not going to be in the lead, and they're going to take Jamal Charles out. They're going to put Sean Drawn in there. You're going to put Peyton Hillis in there because the simple fact is going to be playing from behind, and they don't like to use Jamal Charles when they play from behind. So I can't trust Jamal Charles in this game. After this week, the schedule gets a little easier, then I'll put him back in there and hope for the best. Dwayne Bowe is probably the sketchiest, the only play other than Jamal Charles, for those who are going to play Jamal Charles, is the only play that I could possibly play. And I don't think he's going to get into the end zone. I think this is going to be a pretty bad game, again, for the Kansas City Chiefs. Dwayne Bowe, I'm saying 4 or 5 catches, 50, 60, 65 yards, somewhere around there. On the other side, Roethlisberger has been playing lights out. Todd Haley has been putting Roethlisberger in great positions to rack up some stats, and he's been doing that. So I like Big Ben to get about 270 yards, a couple touchdowns. Isaac Redman and Dwyer, if Dwyer is healthy, running for about 60 to 70 yards. probably 120 yards, 130 yards collectively. One of those guys getting into the end zone. Heath Miller, who Ben Roethlisberger says is going to get him into the Pro Bowl. He's going to get a lot of touches. I see him getting about 5 or 6 catches, about 50 to 60 yards. Strong chance he gets into the end zone along with Mike Wallace. Of course, Antonio Brown is going to be out for weeks. Emmanuel Sanders is going to take his spot. I see Mike Wallace getting about 6 catches, about 90 yards, and a touchdown. Emmanuel Sanders getting about 4 or 5 catches, about 50 to 60 yards. And that's about it. That's about it. There's a couple plays I had in there. There's not too many. One I told you I really like. I know most people probably picked him up, and that's Tywan Jones. A lot of people just picked up Marcel Reese. But I'm telling you, both of those probably be effective plays, but I really like Tywan Jones. With that being said, we come to another conclusion of the show. Tune in next week, like I said, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm JT, a.k.a. The Master. This is The Master Plan. And as always, I go out as I come in.